So, this week, Pastor Chris is not here to give the message, and we actually have a guest speaker. And I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, probably know who he is. So, will you guys join me in welcoming Doug Duffy?
Thank you, Brett, and I am overjoyed this morning and excited for a couple of reasons. Renee and I get to be Pappy and Nana for a seventh time over, as my baby had a baby, little Sawyer. I know they're listening. I love you, Sawyer, and what a blessing it is. You can't have too many grandchildren. Also, it's just a privilege and honor to bring the word this morning. And I hope I'm not like one of those guys, Jim, that talks for an hour and it just comes out, blah, 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 right? I hope that's not the case. You know, this message actually was inspired by a conversation I had with Marcia Cater last week in Sunday school. We were sitting there talking about ministry moments. And we somehow got on the subject of fear. And she was saying, you know, I used to think that, you know, when there was fear in me, that, you know, that was the Lord really telling me not to, you know, not to act, not to go in that direction. And she said, you know, I've learned over time as she walked and as she's walked in faith that, you know, that's not the case at all, right? That wasn't the case at all. And she said, what I've learned is I've learned to do it scared. And actually, that is the title of this morning's message, actually, is do it scared. You know, and those were very profound words. And so then my mind went quickly to the verses this morning, which is out of 1 Corinthians 2, 3 through 5. I don't know if we're putting that up there. Wow, I don't know if I can read from that far away. Oh, well, I'm going to try. Anyways, so this is our verse this morning. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What a powerful scripture verse. You know, who'd have thought that the fearless Paul, right, would have fear? But he did. And it's an amazing verse. I mean, we can relate to the Apostle Paul, can we not? In that verse, I mean, he was a bit vulnerable, right? He was very vulnerable. He said, I was full of fear and I was trembling. So we're gonna dive a little deeper into this subject of fear. You know, you've often heard it said that the opposite of faith is what? Yeah, who's heard that phrase? I've heard it, right? I've heard it, yeah. And really to understand that, you know, I think that you know, maybe that's where Marcia was struggling early on in her walk. She's probably cringing because I keep saying her name. But I just wonder if she wasn't struggling with, oh, my goodness, I've got some fear, so I don't have the faith, so I'm not gonna, you know, carry forward. And I think maybe that was, I'm going to have to ask her, but I think maybe that was what she was struggling with. But, you know, what is fear? All right, because it is still holds true that the opposite of faith is fear, but we need to understand what fear is, all right, in order to allow that topic to sink in, right, that teaching of fear being the opposite of faith. What is fear? Well, if you go to the Greek, and I'm just going to read from my notes here because I don't want to mess this up. But the Greek definition of fear is to flee because of a feeling of inadequate resources. I'm going to say that again. Let that sink in. If there's one thing you take out of this message, is let's get a clear understanding of what fear is. To flee because of a feeling of inadequate resources. You know, my daughter Katie, she had just fresh out of college, had decided to do a gap year, which is usually 3 months, which turned into 3 years, down in Costa Rica. And she was just experiencing all kinds of new things, you know, just all kinds of new faith lessons down there. And she was just feeling tremendously inadequate serving in the ministry down there. And it really got to the point where she would pray every morning. And she actually said to me, she said, "You know, Dad, I'm struggling. And Mom, I'm struggling because I feel so inadequate. You know, what can I bring? I'm this young girl. What can I bring?" So it got to the point where she'd wake up every morning, and it's a simple prayer. But she said, she would just say, "Holy Spirit, just take the chicken out of me." I love that. That's simple enough, right, Jim? Holy Spirit, just take the chicken out of me, right? And I love that. I think I'm going to start praying those prayers myself, praying that prayer myself whenever I'm dealing with fear. But you see, if we look at that definition and if we look at, you know, even the Apostle Paul's life, you know, he didn't stop. He kept speaking, right? So what we learn from all of this, what we learn from Marcia, what we learn from Paul, even and my daughter, is fear isn't the presence of the feeling of fear, right? You get the difference? It's not the presence of fear. It's how we respond, right? Is the response run? Or is the response to embrace? To embrace what he's calling us to. To embrace faith in the midst of that feeling of fear, in the midst of feeling inadequate, right? And it's a struggle. And, you know, I'm not going to raise your hand, but I bet you if I asked you to raise hands this morning, can everybody relate to that? Yeah. I think all of us would. At some point in time, even the bravest of men, like we just said, look at Paul. Who'd have thunk this? Paul would have fear. I mean, this man was shipwrecked, right, on an ocean in the winter. And then after that, he's got a viper grabbing onto him. He's got people stoning him, leaving him for dead. Took on beatings left and right. And here's Paul. Here's Paul struggling with the feeling of fear, yet carrying on in the midst of all of that. So when we talk about fear in the context of calling, it's a huge subject, all right? Because again, remember, fear or battling that feeling of fear, it's a choice of faith or a choice of fleeing. And so we think about fear in the context of what call God has put on my life and what God has put on your life. If we make the wrong choice, it has kingdom consequences, right? You know, fear, if we don't choose right, we're going to walk out of that path, all right? Someone's not going to be blessed, or many someones aren't going to be blessed. Imagine if Paul chose wrongly. Imagine, well, the Lord would have found someone else. We know that. But he wouldn't have been the instrument to bring all that kingdom change and purpose to the world, right? And so it has huge consequences in the context of calling. Now, you may have heard teaching, and I've heard teaching, and dare I say, I might have even taught at a time where that saying where God never gives us more than we can handle. Have you heard that saying? Yeah. Yeah, you've heard that saying, right? And often that saying or that teaching comes out of 1 Corinthians, I believe, 10:13, and we're not going to read it. But if you read that verse on your own, what that verse is about is temptation, all right? It's not about calling, all right? That verse says that God will never give us, will never receive temptation beyond what we can bear. And then it goes on to say that he provides an escape. So those verses are about temptation, not calling. In fact, Scripture teaches the exact opposite when it comes to God's kingdom call on our lives. All right, and we don't have time to go through the verses, but I would encourage you to read them tomorrow morning or whenever you do your devotions. But if you read through that whole parable of the talents, it's in Matthew 25. We'll read a sliver of it here. You can throw, while I'm setting this up, you can throw Matthew 25, verses 24 through 5 up there. But so, you know, we have, and again, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 25, you'll notice that that Jesus is giving parables, teaching in parables, all right? And all these parables are about kingdom, about the kingdom of God here on earth, to get more specific. And so if we think about the parable of the talents, right? We had the guy with five, right? And when the king came back, he had 10, and the guy had two and came back and he had two, right? He doubled it. And then we have the unfaithful servant who had a parable of one, a talent of one. And what did he do? He buried it. And look what he says after he buries this talent. What does he say? He says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So we learn from this parable, kingdom call, kingdom work, it's hard. It isn't easy. It requires faith. All right? You know, ask a farmer how to gather from that which isn't sown. Huh? How's that happen? You know, it doesn't. So the point is our kingdom work, all right, it's hard. It's beyond us, you know. Just ask Moses, deliver a people from this powerhouse, or David, right, and Goliath, and all the kings he had to face, even the king of Israel. What a calling. It wasn't easy. It was beyond them, way beyond them. Look at Paul, all right? He had a reason to have a presence of fear. Let's look at his calling in Acts 9, 15 through 16. Look what the Lord said about his calling. And he knew this, right? We know Paul was a prophet. And, well, like us all, he could hear the voice of God. He knew what was lying ahead. How about this for a calling? Acts 9, 15 through 16. Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble seeing that from far away. Okay. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to hear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. How about that for a calling? You think that might put that feeling of fear in you? I know it would me. Yeah, so it was no wonder Paul was experiencing that feeling of fear, yet he carries on, right? And they even warned him, you know, further down in Acts, don't go to Jerusalem. Remember that prophecy? Your hands are going to be tied up, right? He was going to be bound and beaten. And it was prophesied to him, don't go. What did he do? He went. He went. Paul was a class act of what it looks like to battle that feeling of fear and carry forward. So, what does that mean to you and I? Are we exempt from a calling that's beyond us? Nope. We're not. Every time he calls me to do something, you know how I know when it's him calling? I'm a little scared. I'm a lot scared, right? That's how I know it's beyond me. So, you know, Marcia, Paul have learned something very profound. Sorry, Marcia, if you're listening. They've learned something very profound. Do it scared. Don't flee. Go through it. Go through the fear. So we all have that choice. And here's the beautiful thing. If we make that choice right, there's something amazing. There's an amazing consequence. Let me put it to you that way. There's an amazing consequence. I would call it a reward consequence. I don't even know if that works, but it's working right now for me. I would call it a consequence of reward. Let's say it that way. There's a consequence of reward, and we can read it in the very verses we just read. 1 Corinthians, if we could throw that up there. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. And what does it say? What did Paul discover? What did he discover as a result of working through that trembling and that fear? What was the consequence? The consequence in the back part of that verse, and he says, well, I'll just read the whole thing. In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power. The consequence was, I'm scared, I'm trembling, I'm going to do this anyways, and what's the consequence? A demonstration of the Spirit of power. Of course the calling's beyond Paul. Of course the calling's beyond Doug. Of course the calling's beyond Jim. And you can put your name in the slot there. It's beyond us, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't need the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, think of this, Jesus wouldn't have had to die and go through that painful death and go on the cross so that the Holy Spirit would have to come. Would come. Remember, he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. So, of course we need Holy Spirit. Of course we need Jesus. Of course we need the Father to see that incredible calling that he puts on our lives. But we got to overcome the fear if we're going to see this amazing reward consequence. And quite frankly, that's not even the reward of the consequence of reward. You know what the real consequence of the reward was? Because Paul pierced through, because Paul chose faith, because Paul chose not to flee, we get a community of Corinthians. We get a community of Thessalonians, right? We get an entire Gentile populace coming into the kingdom. That's the real consequence. A reward, a kingdom reward of people coming to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. That's what that demonstration of power is for, right? Not to puff up your ego or my ego, but to bring people into the kingdom of God. That's the reward consequence. So I'm going to try to land this thing faster than I had planned. So let me just go here. I'll end with a testimony. I was at a concert at Geneva, and the artist was Third Day, I think it was. I wasn't even a fan, but I just went because my wife wanted me to go. And come on, guys, you can relate to that. And so we get there, and they're singing this song, and was it the Revelation song? Is that what it was? I don't even know, but there's this verse in there, right? And at this point in time, in the family business, things were setting up that I was really contemplating moving out of the family business. At the time, I was leading the organization. It was a very fulfilling job, but you know, I was having one of those burning bush moments, you know, that Moses had. Now, I wouldn't put myself on the level of Moses, but I would say we all have those moments where the Lord's calling, like I said, and he was calling me to start a ministry and take all that knowledge that he poured into me from a business perspective and give it all away and start teaching. And I did the same thing as Moses. I'm not a teacher. No, I can't do this. And so I was really struggling with that. And I have a great job, and people are being impacted. And so I'm really wrestling with this. And so we're singing this Revelation song, and there's one verse in there where it says, should I stay or should I go? And man, when those verses were being sung, I was all kinds of stirred up. And so, you know, after we're done singing, this young lady, she had to be 20 years or old or less. She tugs on my shoulder, taps me on the shoulder, and her voice is trembling, right? Just like Paul's. She goes, you know, when the Lord tells me to do something, the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I've learned I really got to do it. And so we're just seeing this young lady, right, walk through fear, right? She's not fleeing it. She's tapping this old stranger on the shoulder. And she says, you know, when we were singing that part about should we leave or should we go or should we stay, she said, I just felt the Lord saying, you need to go and you need to kick it into another gear. Ooh. That about floored me. Obviously, she had a word of knowledge. Obviously, she was afraid to share it with some strange guy, but she did. And that was the birth of a ministry called Victorious Living Ministries. And I still walk into this ministry, by the way, with a lot of fear and trembling. I'm still walking in dealing with the feelings of fear myself. But here's the reward consequence. People in Araco are being blessed, right? Here's the reward. Here's the consequence of reward. Teens going in July, which we're all going to be walking through our feelings of fear, all right? We're not going to flee, and we're going to see the demonstration of power in a community called Araco. With this church, we're going to be doing it together. And we're going to see people being blessed. We're going to see people knowing, seeing, feeling the love of Jesus Christ as a result. So I'm going to close right here. If you would just stand with me, all right? It's going to seem like a little weird here, but just go with me, all right? So I just want you to go like this. Come on. Just do it with me. All right, I bet you when you came into church, you didn't think you were going to come to aerobics class. I just want you to do this, all right? What that is that's symbolic of us shaking off the fear. All right? And you know, you can have fun with this when you're in your closet with you between you and the Lord and you're dealing with fear. Go ahead, do it. No one will see you. He will. Right? He'll see you making that effort to shake it off. But let's shake off the fear. You know, I'm sensing some have been given, all of us have been given a God assignment, but some have been struggling with fear. I just sense it. He's called you to do great things. He's called me to do great things. Praise God, we're not left to our own devices, right? Praise God is beyond us because we get to see Him do His work through us. I'm going to pray now. Heavenly Father, we just shake off the fear. We shake it off, Father God. We thank you for just the privilege, Lord, to be part of your kingdom. We thank you for Jesus Christ who died, went to the cross, and was rose again to give us Holy Spirit to fulfill that call which you put on our lives, which is beyond us. So we say, yes, Lord, we shake off the fear. We say, yes, Lord, we shake off the fear. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. Yes, Lord, I know I can't, but you can. You're such a good, good Father. Lord, we thank you that we don't have a spirit of fear in us. In fact, your word says that we're no longer in bondage to the spirit of fear. But rather, Lord God, you've replaced it with the spirit of adoption. Abba, Papa, Pappy, thank you for adopting us. Thank you for freeing us. May we choose daily to remember we can always lean on that spirit of adoption. We can always lean on you to help us through. And may we be obedient. May we trust and obey, just like we sang, through the fear to see your kingdom come. Here on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, Papa, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.